And welcome to Padres Social Hour, and we are off to a swimming start. Welcome to Sunday morning. I think I don't know what's going on. Blooper, did you just not know it was coming?
No, I did. I pressed play, and nothing played on the open.
Oh, the computer failure once again.
Yeah, okay. But we're here.
Hey, Sunday morning, Padres baseball. Taylor Swift last night. We're gonna take a couple minutes and talk about Taylor Swift.
Right.
I know you were not here, Bill. I was here. Blooper was here.
Blooper had a date.
Apparently Blooper had a date.
Right.
I don't know how well that went for him. Doesn't sound like it went all that well. But, man, that was a pretty incredible show last night. I said yesterday, I'm not the biggest fan of her music. It doesn't bother me, but I'm not a fan of her music. But the show was pretty unbelievable. They gave out these bracelets right here, and they were synchronized throughout the entire ballpark.
That's too yuppie for me. I mean, that's even too
yuppie.
Not even yuppie. It's millennial or whatever you guys call yourselves now. That's a generation.
That's a couple generations behind me.
I don't
personally
want my wrist blinking as choreographed to somebody else.
It's an amazing visual, Bill.
Okay.
I have to tell you that the seating bowl as compared to the floor were different, and it's just an incredible show. And she did an amazing job. Unfortunately, we did not get her on the show. And after you see the show, you're like, okay, I get it. There's a lot going on. For her to take a few minutes out of her day to come to Padres Social Hour, it might have been a little unreasonable. We got a tweet from Taz Thomas. He said, so Seth failed and really disappointed me not getting Taylor Swift, but all the Taylor references were pretty great. And, I mean, I'm going to give Blooper a little credit here.
See,
he tried really hard.
I wasn't here last night, so I don't know. But I was here for McCartney. And McCartney was a wonderful night of music, which is what I think a concert should be about. I want the sound over the flash.
And it's all what you're into. She played a perfect show for her audience.
Okay.
And they
which is
loved
a lot
it.
Younger audience.
A much younger audience.
Right.
A much different demographic than what we were enjoying with the Rolling Stones,
right,
or Paul McCartney. But Seth, let me say this to you. And she made one of her many, many speeches last night. There was a lot of them. But one of them was talking about the negativity of the internet. And don't let that get to you.
I'm going to be okay.
You're going to be okay. And take the positivity from that appearance, that performance. Whenever you get down about what's going on the internet, you use that as motivation to bring you into a better place.
Okay, I got this.
Okay.
Well, we could take him to a worse place right now if we wanted to.
How so?
Seth?
Yeah.
No, I'm not getting into it. I'm just saying.
You're just saying?
Right.
Oh.
It's never a bad idea to pound on Blooper.
That's fair. Unfortunately for him, that is fair. let's take it to a little darker place. The Padres not in a great spot right now.
Oh,
and
bad trip. Bad
you know,
trip.
They got swept at home by the Phillies. And at the time, you could say, okay, the Phillies were actually playing really good baseball at the time.
Right.
They had won many in a row. They were playing nicely.
They were a young club. They were all new to the major leagues. They were really playing well. They have not been playing well
they
recently.
They have not been
right.
playing well recently.
Right.
And the Padres go in there, and same results.
And
it's rough right now.
And they have not played good baseball on this trip at all. I don't think. They just haven't played. They haven't played with a lot of spark, and a couple guys have, but this has not been a good trip. And right now, I think this is probably one of I think their worst stretch of the second half.
Yeah, by far, I'd say, of the second half. I mean, they did lose the sixth straight to Philadelphia and Milwaukee.
Right, right.
And that was probably a little worse just in what it meant. They were trying to get back into the race. There was some positive momentum, some energy around the team. And then two series where you felt like you could have done some damage and maybe gotten
right.
back into it, you lost. But I agree with you in the way that they're playing the last couple games in Washington and now these two games in Philadelphia especially, really not the path.
Right. Not a lot of energy on this trip is what I'm thinking. I just don't like to see professional teams. And these are the dog days. We're headed into the last month of the season, but I was a little I'm more than a little disappointed to see the energy on this trip.
Understood. Before we delve into yesterday's game, a couple things. One, we're going to be joined later by San Diego Union Tribune columnist Nick Canepa.
I like to call him fellow curmudgeon.
Fellow curmudgeon, and wrote a real interesting column a couple days ago about umpiring. Kind of struck a chord with me on a positive note. I was very much in agreement with him, so I wanted to get him on to talk to him about that. I know you guys go way back, so that'll be fun. A little later, going to talk to Bill the Magnificent, going to get some of the predictions for the future. So if you want to find out anything about the Padres, whether it be in the next week, the next month, the next 50 years. I mean, we've gone that far with Bill
Magnificent.
I got the
first baseman in
50 years.
Right, 2065 being named
Trevor something.
Right, Trevor something. I'm not quite sure.
Trevor anything.
Right. I just think that, he's going to be a Trevor.
So I know it's an early Sunday out there, but send us your questions for Bill the Magnificent or anything otherwise. Use the hashtag PadresSH. We've also got the live chat, Padres.com. Right.
As we got Gracie's wrist blinking off.
I'm gonna make a little light noise here. We've got the sun coming through the set. It looks lovely down here. This is very distracting to you, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I kind of like that. Colin Ray starts yesterday. Coming off his first rough start and his first road start of his major league career. Kind of mixed results. Not terrible, not great. I don't think he's going to come out of this too worse for the wear. He goes 5 innings, 4 earned runs.
You know what he looked like yesterday?
A rookie?
A rookie pitcher.
Yeah.
And the one play that sort of got to me was the ball bounced back through the middle that he just didn't react to very well. And to me, that's like, okay, when you don't instinctively react to something like that as a pitcher or an infielder, I think that last night he had some rookie yips on the road.
That was probably the most disappointing. And you could see it in his face because it came from off the bat of the pitcher, the opposing pitcher. Probably the most disappointing thing about that, two outs with a runner on third. He could have got out of it with the pitcher up at the plate.
And that was it was playable.
No, it absolutely was playable. And this is a learning month for him. And that's a perfect example of, all right, I've got to get myself in a defensive position to be ready to make that play because the Padres score 3 runs in this game. If he can make that play, that's a tie game.
Right.
That's a whole different thing. That's one less loss on his column, and it keeps his team in the game. So that's got to be a big learning moment for him.
Right. I just – on that particularly pitch, that particular at-bat, I just don't think he was poised and ready for what happened, for it coming back to him.
And it's understandable on some level. I mean, he's a young kid. He's got a million things racing through his head.
Right.
There's still
going to
be a lot of nerves.
Absolutely.
And you just hope that he takes this experience and uses that as a growth.
Right. Well, I'm not criticizing him for not being ready, but I'm saying as a rookie, certain things happen at different times. And as a rookie, not always being prepared for everything that might go down happens. That's what happened.
And on the other side of the hill was another rookie left-hander, Adam Morgan, and locates his pitches. But, I mean, the guy tops out 88, 89, touches 90 a little bit. And you would look at this and say, okay, this is the type of guy this right-handed heavy Padres lineup should be able to get to. But that's twice. He didn't give up an earned run yesterday. He gave up 2 runs, but both were unearned. And for the most part, you know, just not what you would expect from this lineup, and it's the inconsistency that we've seen all year.
I think one of the telling things all season is the fact that the Padres struggle against a lot of pitchers that you would think, hey, this is made to suit for them, and they struggle against backline pitchers. There have been times that they've done very well against the Bumgarners and the Kershaws, and they've struggled against these second and third echelon pitchers. And to me, I can't figure that one out.
I mean, the only guy with 2 hits yesterday is Yonder Alonso, the only left-hander in the the lineup.
Yonder's a good hitter against left-handed pitching. I mean,
this year.
Right. He has done a very nice job of taking left-handers the other way, of getting on base against left-handers. He's definitely picked up that part of his game. There were a lot of at-bats that were just not good at-bats.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Kemp comes back a couple days off, single, scores a run, stolen base, good to see. Maybe he's going to get his timing back over the next day or so. But
And you had a very good inning right there where Matt Kemp's on second. Alonso gets him home, and then Melvin Upton gets Alonso home. Two close plays at the plate. I thought that, boy, they were going to pick up from that inning, and then they didn't. That was that game, I just didn't like the way that game played out.
On the other side of it, some really good defense from the Phillies outfielders
right
behind Adam Morgan. You can kind of see the difference, a really good outfield. And you know, you do have that chance with Jankowski. Melvin Upton's shown himself to be a very good center fielder most of the time. So if you can straighten out some of that outfield defense, it makes a big difference. And it made a big difference last night. Some really nice plays out there.
Center field makes a really big difference. Having a guy that can go into the gaps and make catches. And I really like the young center, the Herrera for the Phillies. And, yes, he's now been up quite a while, and he's feeling a little more comfortable. But having a center fielder that can go into the gaps and will go into the gaps hard makes a big difference.
One other note on last night, Brett Wallace comes in with a pinch hit single. It's been a lot to like from what we've seen of Brent Wallace.
I like Brett Wallace as a pinch hitter. The only problem is if he's going to be on your bench, he really doesn't have a position to play. So he's basically going to be a pinch hitter. But he's now, I think he's 10 for 30 as a pinch hitter. He is really a good pinch hitter, and he seems to thrive on those roles. I mean, I really like him coming off the bat as a left-handed pinch hitter.
Definitely in that role, he's done really well, and I think at a minimum, if you like him and everything works out going forward, I think he could fill that role. It would be interesting to see him get a little more playing time at some point through September. Clearly, the Padres are out of any kind of race, so it's time to start figuring stuff out for next year. He's got some pretty incredible power in that bat. When you look at his numbers, he hasn't gotten a 500 at-bat season.
Right.
And I'm not saying that he's going to get that here or that he should,
right,
but for a first-round talent and some of the tools that he hasn't gotten a true shot to prove whether he can be an everyday major league player. Now, you're right, not a great defensive first baseman, probably even a little less in the outfields, maybe something he can work on, but the bat is really interesting.
Well, he's a first baseman, third baseman, and he's not the type of defender you want at either one of those two positions. And I think that has probably held him back. Now, you're going to have to make – I mean, when you start a season, you have to make a decision. Are we set enough in our utility players? And if you've got a bench that has guys that can play infield, outfield, makes a big difference. Can we keep a guy on the bench just to be a left-handed pinch hitter and a designated hitter in interleague play? So – That's a tough spot to say, boy, does he have a spot on a 25-man roster throughout a season?
I would say, you know, when you've got most likely next year, when you've got Travis Jankowski and Melvin Upton kind of in that center field platoon, can play probably any of the outfield spots, that gives you a little bit of flexibility to have a guy like that on your bench where he's going to be a mostly – bat type of guy coming off the bench. It gives you a little flexibility that I think you can do that, and you probably would like to do that.
Then you'll probably not have, if you've got him, you probably then wouldn't have Amarista or Spangenberg.
Yeah, you probably don't have both.
Because you're not going to have two backup infielders. But, it's very interesting. You know, way back when the bullpens weren't used like they were today, teams would carry a player like that. And I'm talking way back when, in the 60s and 70s, you would have a guy on the bench, and there were some great ones, who would just be a pinch hitter. That would be their only role because you didn't have a 7-man, you didn't have a 12-man pitching staff.
Yeah, like a 6-man bench, right?
Right. You had a 6 or some teams even 7. You might only have 4 guys in your bullpen. So the makeup of rosters was different back then. In the 50s and 60s, there would have been a spot for a Wallace on a full-time team. But now your bench has to be a lot more versatile than it was back then.
The game has certainly changed. All right, going to take a break. When we come back, we will welcome Nick Canepa to the Cholula Hotline, talk to him about his column the other day about umpiring and everything that might be – not ideal with Major League Baseball.
Almost, and umpiring almost everything right now.
I know. Join the movement to create a world without cancer. The Padres want you to join Pedal the Cause and raise money for San Diego's cancer-fighting centers. You can ride, be a virtual rider, or donate. Anyone can ride. Join Team Padres or ride on your own. To learn more or register, visit sdpedal.org/register or text PEDAL to 41444 to donate today. Nick Cunningham coming up on the show right after this.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour, presented by United. One of the, unfortunately, big topics we've talked about all year is umpiring and everything that's gone wrong with umpiring. And one of your buddies, Nick Canepa from the San Diego Union Tribune, wrote a really interesting column a couple days ago, an open letter to Commissioner Rob Manfred. And Nick is joining us now on the Cholula Hotline. And before you and Bill get into it, Nick, I thought you started it out perfectly. And as a fan, explain what you meant by it's really hurting your enjoyment of the game the way these umpires are handling baseball right now.
Well, it's just frustrating. I think it may affect people more watching it on television than they're actually at the games. Because, number one, a lot of people at the games aren't paying attention anyway. But if you watch a game on television, it's a joke. I mean, it's so frustrating. You know, there are times I just want to throw something at the television set. I mean, it's awful. These guys cannot call balls and strikes. They have no strike zone. They waver constantly on what's a strike and what isn't. I mean, all you do is hear the announcers say, "Well, he got that pitch the last time he was up and didn't get it this time." I think a big problem, and I've said it before, and I like I mentioned, I used to talk to Tony Gwynn about this all the time. I do not understand why umpires don't stand directly behind the catcher like they used to. I think the American League umps got away from it years ago, and then everybody followed suit. And I'm sorry, as Tony used to say, if you're standing on the inside part of the plate, you cannot properly see the outside corner of the plate. I mean, but they just let these guys do what they want to do. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they're employees just like ball players and management and anything else. They've got to be forced to come around, and if they don't, you know, like Ronald Reagan fired all the air traffic controllers, hey, either do your job or we'll find somebody else who can.
You know, Nikki, you and I love to agree to disagree, but I agree with you on this one. You fire them all and start over? What do you do?
Well, if they don't do what you want to do, I mean, you were in our business longer than I was. If you weren't any good at it, you weren't working there anymore.
Right.
I mean, it's just like any other job. You know, if you do your job well, you stay on, and if you don't, hey, find something else to do. But it's obviously they're all on the same page to be awful. They don't care. They just and they're so arrogant. It used to be the umpiring thing in baseball used to be fun. I mean, they used to, you know, it was part of the game, arguing with the managers and now as soon as a guy comes out, they get the hook. They don't want to hear anything.
Right. Well, I don't think the umpires, nothing bad can happen.
And no accountability.
Right, there's no accountability. That's the word I'm looking for. And I would like to see Major League Baseball fire a couple of the really bad ones and say, okay, this is a new age. You're either going to have to do better or you're all going to be gone and we'll find other ones. And I'd like to have, honestly, a computerized strike zone.
Well, I was always against that. You know, I thought the human element, you know, growing up with the game, I always thought the human element was a great part of baseball. But we also had a lot more competence with the guys in blue than we do now. I'm all for computerized strike zones. I'm totally for it. and I don't think it's going to slow down the game any, and I think you could leave the guys behind the plate to handle what happens around the plate with the ball in play.
And it seems like replay has fixed some things, but even replay, the system isn't right because we saw with the Bryce Harper play, he clearly didn't get hit with the ball at the plate, wasn't a foul ball, should have been last out of an inning. They've got to figure out how to fix replay. I mean, where do you think the problem stems there? Is it that the fact that there's umpires doing the replay trying to protect their buddies, or the fact that not every play is reviewable? I mean, what's the biggest problem there, do you think?
Well, I think the biggest problem is the latter. Why not have them all reviewable? If it's so blatant, I mean, the one the other night was crucial. I mean, that turned out to be a crucial play in the game that they blew. I mean, the next night, Harper went to first base on a ball that did not hit him. They didn't even think about it. I mean, they just sent him to first base. The ball clearly bounced between his feet. And you know, off he went trotting to first base. Why not make them all reviewable? I mean, if they're crucial parts of the game, and a lot of plays are, review them. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, if I can make a judgment off a replay from home in about 10 seconds, it shouldn't take 5 minutes for people who supposedly know the game back in New York or wherever they are to make a decision faster than they do.
You know, one thing, Nick, I think replay has made the umpires even lazier than they were before.
Oh, I think it does. And I think it's evident in football, too. I think a lot of times referees in football will kind of defer to, you know, will defer to replay. But I do think it's made them lazier. And I don't know if it's a combination of everything. These guys just aren't as good as they used to be.
No, and they have a completely, like you said, I agree with you. They have a completely different personality than they did years ago. When you knew an umpire was, you knew a manager was going to come out and argue a play, there was some give and take. Now it's just a short fuse and you're gone.
Yeah, I mean, it's taken some of the fun out of the game. I mean, the fans never liked the umps. I mean, that's been part of the game's fabric for 150 years. But now, you know, a guy hollers about something, and bam, you're in the dugout. Like I said, if I managed a major league game, there's no way I don't think I'd ever complete a game.
No,
I'd be in the clubhouse at the end of every game.
I'd throw you out. I mean, I'd probably throw you out before the game. You know how I feel.
Well, yeah, I know how you feel about me, and I've been trying to rectify that for 45 years, but it hasn't worked.
I don't think we're going to mend any fences today.
I got to tell you, Nick and I in a car on a long road trip. I wish we had made tapes of some of those discussions. We would just go back and forth. We could make a 300-mile road trip pass in no time at all because we'd get in these arguments that would start on one point and would just like encompass everything there was.
Yeah, I know a few people. A few people who love to drive. Well, I personally hate to drive, but Bill would drive to Russia if he could. I mean, it's just his nature. He loves to drive, and we had a lot of fun on those trips.
The best ones were always on January 1st, going to the Rose Bowl, listening to the parade being described on radio. Those were always great times.
KNX. That was great, and the time that the float hit the power pole, and
right,
the guy was like the Hindenburg.
Right, it was like,
it.
Oh, the humanity.
Yeah.
It's like the world was coming to the end because the float had turned the corner wrong and hit the pole.
Yeah. But I, you know, getting back to that, I think this is a very serious condition now. I really do. I think it's the worst I've ever seen. I was hoping at the beginning of the year that it would get better. But it's gotten progressively worse. These guys absolutely stink.
Right.
I mean, that's all I can say. They stink.
I agree with you, Nick. I agree with you. Hey, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, it's always a pleasure to be on social in the social hour.
Really appreciate it, Nick. And you guys have seen a lot of baseball over the years, so we appreciate your insight.
Hey,
enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Take care of yourself.
Nick was joining us on the Cholula Hotline. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres.
Can I say one thing here?
Please do.
Quick? Nick and I have been best of friends since 1971 or 72. I love Nick. But our friendship is sort of based on just piling on each other all the time, making the other guy as uncomfortable as we can. And we've had very good friends look at us in the press box and say, God, why do you guys even come up together if you're feuding like that?
You know what? That's the beauty of sports. I think that's the nature of sports, and you guys are the perfect embodiment of that. So really appreciate his time, and you guys are always great together.
Nick's such a good guy.
As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Big thanks out to Nick Canepa for joining us on the Cholula Hotline.
Love
more
that guy.
Padres Social Hour right after this.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Our thanks to San Diego Union Tribune columnist Nick Canepa for stopping by. He had such a great time with his buddy Bill Center. That Bill ran off. I think they're going to go have brunch together or something. But taking his place Bill the Magnificent.
Here we go.
He is full of answers for everything the future may hold.
Chance for me to be foolish.
What are you talking about?
Hey, I mean, you got blinking wrists. At least I'm wearing a stupid hat, but you have blinking wrists. That's even worse.
You know, Bill, we're going to get you one of these, and you're going to wear it.
Yeah.
You're going to love it.
Yeah, I doubt that's going
to
happen.
All right, so we're going to get to some of our questions here. If you've got any questions while we're doing this, send them in on Twitter, hashtag PadresSH. But we're going to get to Bill the Magnificent. So our buddy Ed, sometimes cranky, not so much anymore. Any guesses who will be the starting shortstop next year, revolving door this year? Hard to pick a name out of a hat, but what do you see them doing with shortstop next year, Bill?
Well, I think they've got two. They're going to have to – this is a spot where they're going to have to really address in the offseason.
Sure.
And they have two options here. One is to get a young guy and overpay for him, or to go after somebody who another team is disgruntled with, like maybe a Starlin Castro, who might be – might fit in well with your plans, doesn't fit in with the team he's with right now. I think that there are two teams they might talk with, the Cubs and the Brewers, who are both that sort of have that situation. But if you go out and get a young prospect shortstop, you are going to have to really overpay when it comes to what you're going to have to get up to get them. And I'm not sure they want to do that.
Okay. Is the 2016 first baseman on the team now?
Yes, he is. And I'm not saying it's Yonder Alonso. I think it could be Will Myers. I'll throw another one out there. If Will Myers is your corner outfielder, maybe, do you put Kemp at first? I am not so certain that can happen. But I think you do have to sort of address outfield defense next year. I think the starting first baseman is on the team right now, but I don't think you can identify him.
Will one of the big three starting pitchers, Shields, Ross, Cashner, be moved this offseason?
Yes. I don't think it'll be Tyson Ross. I think Tyson Ross, moving forward, becomes the number one on the staff, but I think that one of the other two will be moved.
Okay. Will the manager of the team have major league managing experience?
Yes. I think that they want a veteran manager. I think that AJ will – I know that the trend right now is to go out and hire guys that have no managing experience, and it's worked well, but I think that AJ is going to want somebody with experience in here.
Okay. Will Colin Ray be in the rotation next year?
Yes. I think he's going to be – he's not your 1, 2, or 3, but I think he's going to be at the back of the rotation.
If you had to classify the Padres offseason, not very active? somewhat active, very active.
Not as active as last year, but active. I think they've got a lot of spots to fill. Now, some of them will be, I think, free agency. And I'm talking about the bullpen there. Maybe you go out and get a starting pitcher. But I think the 25, I think that any time that you turn over, say, 20% of your roster, that's an active off-season. And I think that there's going to be a better than 20% turnover in the roster.
Will Ian Kennedy receive a qualifying offer?
Whoa, that's an interesting one.
We got him, Blooper.
I think that that is a good question. I think he will, because I think there's still the way he's pitched recently. I don't think they're going to be able to re-sign Ian, but I do think they'll make a qualifying offer to get the draft pick.
If he took the qualifying offer, so you've
I
got,
wouldn't mind it.
You've got Ian Kennedy on a one-year deal for $15, $16 million. Now, yes, that is overpaid for 1 year, but you can always handle an overpay for one season.
Right, and I think that there are major questions in your starting rotation next year, and I wouldn't mind having Ian Kennedy as one of my four starters back. I think the rotation, you're going to have – I mean, both – Morrow and Johnson are free agents at the end of this year, and I think that you're going to have to make a decision. We don't want to deal with question mark starting pitchers anymore. We want guys that we've waited all season for Morrow and Johnson to get healthy, and I think that has been detrimental to what this team's trying to do. I don't think you can have, moving forward, I don't think they want to deal with those type of question marks anymore. Ian Kennedy, that said, Ian Kennedy might be the perfect type of pitcher to have here for 1 year until you really figure out where you're going to be moving forward, particularly if you're moving Cashner or Shields during the offseason.
Last question. Are any of the recent Tommy John guys going to be a part of next year's major league team?
Lupke, for sure. I think that, given the offseason, that Lupke will be back. I'd like to see him starting next year. Don't know if that can happen, but I could definitely see him in the bullpen, maybe giving Despaigne a run for the long man in the bullpen.
All right. Bill the Magnificent, so many answers, so much knowledge.
And probably so few of them will come true.
I trust this hat. Okay. This hat tells me that everything you said.
You trust me. You don't trust me, but no. You trust the hat.
No, the hat gives you the power.
Okay.
We've explained that many times before. So I'm going to take a break. When we come back, we've got plenty of time for your Twitter questions and comments out there. If you want to interact with the show, again, hashtag PadresSH. We'll show you today's lineup, get you set up for everything going on in Philadelphia for today's series finale. At Evans Tire and Service Centers, buy two select tires and get two free. With quality name brand tires and 16 convenient locations, why shop anywhere else? Visit EvansTire.com, home of the buy two, get two. Our thanks to Bill the Magnificent for another outstanding run. More Padres Social Hour right after this.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the show. From the AMR studios, he's Bill Center. I'm Mike Grace.
And over there in the corner is Blooper.
Captain Puberty, his voice just cracked on us as we came back from the break there. I love listening to him laugh. Right. It's so ridiculous.
And his trademark, his trademark sign of defeat.
Oh, it is a Sunday morning after a late night concert. A couple tweets to get to here real quick. Mark Doherty says, Petco louder for T-Swift or any moment of pod season 2015? No, I would not say louder, but a definitely different tone. There was a much more young girl tone to the screaming last night. We've had some pretty loud, fun, exciting moments here at Petco, but last night was a very different tone. So get what you're saying there, but no. Big Ahi, our buddy, he says, Seth Foster, you got to cut that music, killing me. I guess he's not a fan of the Bill the Magnificent music. I love it. I absolutely love it. Because it's from the movie Big. If people out there don't realize, it's from Big.
Is that what it's from?
Yeah, yeah. When he's doing the Zoltar video game thing
that turns him big.
That's where it's from.
All right.
I love
it. That's pretty clever, I think. Yeah, that's a good
one. You blooped the heck out of that
one.
Good job.
I had forgotten that scene, and now that you mentioned it, okay, that's where it's from.
Yeah, now you can feel better about it. Right. And thanks for coming back. I appreciate that. I hope you had a nice meal with Nick, and now you're back to talk a little more Padres baseball. Thank you.
We're back.
Let's take a look at today's lineup presented by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. Again, shuffling it around a little bit. Solarte leads off like has been usually. Derek Norris in the two-hole. Then you've got Kemp, Upton, Alonso, Jerko, Spangenberg, James Shields in the eight-hole, and Travis Jankowski in the nine-hole. Jankowski succeeded much more in the nine-hole than he has anywhere else in the lineup. No pressure, so hopefully that gets him going. He's got all the family and friends there. Really cool to see him yesterday with the big heads.
Right.
And I guess they had a family wedding that everybody was in town for, so that was neat. But, another interesting lineup there with James Shields taking the mound.
And, again, Jerko's at shortstop, so far that experiment has not looked bad.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Jerko, really smooth baseball actions, right? I mean, he looks like a baseball player. Well, he knows how to make
natural play. He's got quick reactions. He's not fast, but he's quick. And he's made some nice plays at short. Now, does he have the range going to his right of a classic major league shortstop? I don't think he's got the range, but he's certainly got quickness, and he gets the glove on the ball.
He made a really, really nice play a couple nights ago going up the middle. Kind of, it wasn't a dive, but it was like a
slide
stop. But it got him to pop up real quick and make a nice throw to first.
Right,
and
a little spin throw.
Yeah, and I mean, as opposed to what Will Middlebrooks was doing at second base, I think he's a little more natural around second base, being able to turn the double play and things like that. So, I don't think anybody expects him to be a full-time shortstop at any point in his career, but this does give him a lot more options to be in a lineup and help a team if there's injuries in the future or just improve his value being able to play shortstop in a pinch.
Right. I would like to see him work on his conditioning during the offseason a little bit. I think that I don't think that he's in as great a shape this year as he was 2 years ago when he first arrived here. But that said, I think this year with the bat, he's pretty much back to where he was 2 years ago. The second half has really been good with the bat. And I think this is somebody, again, that if you're going to keep him, has a future. If you're going to trade him, has a value.
Yeah, and I'm actually going to disagree with you a little bit. I think last year he came into camp in really good shape.
Right.
And I think he lost some of his power.
Right.
And now that he's put some of that weight back on, which we've seen with Yonder a little bit, last year he came in really, really good shape, lost some of the weight, lost a lot of his power, and maybe he's gotten a little bit of that back. So I think he kind of has to play at this body type to have that powerful swing, which does not bode well for a middle infielder, but especially a shortstop. So, it's kind of one of those give and takes with him. For me, at least he's making the routine plays. I don't think he'll ever have great range at shortstop for sure, even second base a little bit. But you take that with the bat that he can provide. Now, he hasn't done it since his rookie year on a consistent basis, but if he can do that, a middle infielder that can do that, that gives you so much more options, whether it be first base, third base, you don't have to get so much power from those positions.
Right. Well, I for him to be a shortstop or even to be considered in the running for a shortstop, I think he has to be in a little bit different shape than he is right now.
I agree. All right. Looking for paradise? Maui Waui Hawaiian presents delicious, made-to-order, fresh fruit smoothies as well as adult beverage smoothies. Visit the new Maui Waui locations inside Petco Park at the Park of the Park or the Mercado. They're also located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. More on Padre Social Hour, presented by United, coming up right after this.
We're back with more of San Diego's number one source for everything Padres. It's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
We're back. Bill Center, Mike Grace, getting ready for Phillies Padres in Philadelphia. Just a few minutes away here. Maybe the tweet of the week from our friend Meredith, regular contributor here to the show. She says, "Will the field be ready for the Padres' return? I'm picturing Petco covered with glitter and tween tears this morning." That's fantastic, Meredith. Wow. To answer your actual question, the field will be ready. there's going to be some ugliness to it a little bit, but Matt Baylow and his guys are going to do a great job getting this thing ready to be safe to play on, and I don't picture any issues there.
Right. So safe is the biggest concern.
That's the biggest thing. Make sure the ball is going to play natural, and I don't think that will be the case at all. A couple news and notes here on the Padres side. Ken Rosenthal reported that Mark Sepchinski was claimed on waivers by the Mets, now reporting that it's unlikely that they're going to be able to work out a trade, just obviously weren't offering
right.
anything the Padres were looking for there. So Sepchinski likely to be a Padre one more year of club control, so likely he'll be a part of the team next year. And then as we close to September, the Padres may push their September call-ups a little bit because of the playoff race in the minor leagues.
Right. El Paso, AAA El Paso, still has a chance to win the Pacific Southern title. Now, generally when that happens, you don't call up players from a team until they're out of the race. Now, their first four games next week are with a team right ahead of them. So at the end of that series, you might see it. But don't expect to see the El Paso players, Dickerson,
Liriano.
Don't expect to see them coming up on the first. You might see a relief pitcher or two because they do need some help in the bullpen, but you're not going to see the players that you wanted to see come up probably on the first.
Kind of excited to see John Edwards.
Yes, yes, I am too. I really want to see that's the relief pitcher they got in the Will Venable deal. He's pitched very well his first couple outings at El Paso.
Yeah, and a closer before that with the Texas AAA, and I think he's almost perfect, right?
Right. He's got 20. He's got 22 saves now in the Pacific Coast League this season. So there is a guy I want to see, and there is somebody that you might see on the first because they do have a number of relief pitchers in at El Paso right now. You might see Mateo coming back from the injury, but Edwards is someone I think will be here on the first.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, nothing beats $5 beers, a live DJ, sunshine, and Padres baseball, especially when they face the rival Dodgers. Be at Petco Park on Friday, September 4th for the last beer fest of the season. Check out a wide selection of beers from local and national breweries. Tickets available at padres.com/beerfest. Finishing up the show right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
As we sort out Bill Center's volunteer opportunities with the Padres volunteer team, we're back for the last segment of the show.
I'm signed up.
You're signed up?
I'm going to do some stuff in the off season.
You going to do the catch-up thing?
Yeah, right. That's my goal in life is to be on the volunteer team and have the ketchup jar. That's it. No, but actually, during the season, it's very hard for me. I've got a number of things going on.
Yeah.
Hard to do volunteer work. But I am actually looking at the off season of being an active member of the volunteer team. I think it's a great idea.
Can't wait to see that. Let's get to
Don't so much like the yellow shirts, but that's okay.
Yeah, you'll look real sharp in it.
Yeah.
Let's get to the head-to-head challenge. Blooper lost again yesterday. The couch has made up two games on him in the last 2 days. So let's keep this momentum going. Whoever picks the player with the biggest impact tonight on the game positively will win. As always, I forgot. Who's first? Blooper's first. Who do you got?
The hometown boy, Jankowski.
Ooh, Jankowski in the nine
that's
hole.
That's an interesting one. I'm going to go with Matt Kemp.
Matt Kemp.
Right.
All right. Matt Kemp versus Jankowski. Always love the pitcher versus the hitter battle there. So going to be interesting to see. At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail. The cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find our Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. Bill, if there's one thing I took away from last night's Taylor Swift concert.
Well, you took the wristband away.
No, I meant more metaphorically took away from it.
Right.
Is that if you finish everything you do, whether it be, you know, a job, a song, a duty, and you just throw your arm up in the air in just absolute triumph, people will go crazy. So I'm like, I'm going to make a big statement here. And then if I do that, all is right in the world. Like, it's going to send everybody into a frenzy.
If you do that, your other wrist is going to go off.
So, you're right. I did it. If I do that.
That's right.
And it flashes.
Right.
That's been my favorite part of this show is that you haven't been able to get past my blinking
wrist.
Wrist,
right.
Real quickly, did you see yesterday Edwin Encarnacion with the Blue Jays? Hits three home runs.
Nine RBIs.
But they're in Canada, so it was a hat trick, and they all threw their hats onto the field.
I loved it.
One of the coolest things I've seen in baseball in a long time.
The hat trick. I thought that was great.
That was really, really fun.
When the hats came on the field, it was wonderful.
Cool baseball moment. All right, we're a few minutes away here from a Padres-Phillies finale. Ben and Kurt with you tomorrow at 5:30. Enjoy the game today, everybody.